a Hockey Hall of Famer. He's the NHL's all-time goal-scoring leader. He's the great one, Wayne Gretzky. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing well. We are doing well because there are plenty of things to talk about in Leafs land. So it's an easy way to fill the four-hour show today, Wayne.
Makes you guys happy up there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, did 10-7 score give you a little bit of a throwback to your days? You're like, oh, yeah, 10-7 is no big deal. Like, we had 10 goals. It's nothing out of the ordinary here.
Yeah, we're watching that the other night and brought back memories. I think we had an 11-8 game in the Garden that we lost to the Leafs. And Miroslav Frycher had, I think, 4 or 5 goals that night. But amazingly, what I remember the most, it was an 8 o'clock game in those days, and we got beat pretty badly. And we had a 6:30 a.m. bus to the Garden for practice, and there was one puck on the ice at 7:15, and Sather shot it into the stand. So we knew we were going to skate for a while. So I probably remember the next day more than I remember the game. So we did a lot of skating, put it that way.
Well, I was going to say, how do you think Sheldon Keefe responds in terms of a game like that? Because his top line, you show up to practice, and maybe they don't even have one because they play again tonight, but you show up to a practice where your top line goes, hey, if I'm Mitch Marner, I scored 4 goals in that game, and I'm a setup man. I also got an assist in that game. And then the rest of the team doesn't – I know it's like hockey is very much a team sport, but – does it become a little bit more difficult when you are a star player on a team that is not only pulling your weight but exceeding your weight, and there are other areas of the team where you're looking at it and saying, man, we just need a little bit more from you?
Well, first of all, the great thing about hockey is that players learn from day one that there's nobody bigger than the team. And so each and every guy is part of it. So whether you got -3 rating that night or got 5 points, you're all under the same umbrella, and that's what makes teams successful. So I'm sure Marner and his line, those guys felt as disappointed in the loss or in that sort of kind of style of a game as everyone else did. So everybody's under the same umbrella, and hockey players are unique. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a team game, and everybody, you know, from that point of view, if they're going to skate for an hour, everybody's going to skate. Simple as that.
How impressed are you by that top line with the Maple Leafs, Wayne? I mean, if you break it down into its parts, you have maybe the best goal scorer on the planet, maybe the best distributor on the planet, and a guy that in Michael Bunting, who may be one of the most annoying and effectively annoying players in the league. And like, you played on some obviously tremendous, great, balanced lines. Do you appreciate how all these players are a little bit different and they've come together to form something over the last 6 weeks that has really, you know, set the pace or the standard across the entire NHL?
Yeah, they've been outstanding, and they've been fun to watch. I think that I wouldn't read too much into that one game, although it was 10-7. Those kind of nights can happen over 80 games. But you got to look at the overall track record. And right now the Leafs are having a wonderful year and pushing for, you know, a good top playoff spot. I know their goal is as good as finishing the standings are. Ultimately, it's getting to a Stanley Cup final is what matters most. So I wouldn't put too much stock into that one game. I think over the body of work that hockey club has had this year has been pretty good. They're battling some good teams for a top position in that division. And so I wouldn't worry too much about one night. If it happens on a continuous basis, then I think the coaching staff has to sit down and say, okay, do we take the chance of maybe breaking that lineup, or do we, you know, battle through this? So I wouldn't panic over one game, and I'm sure the coaching staff won't panic over that one particular night.
So for about a month and a half now, Marner and Matthews, they combined to lead the league in points, 33 and 30 points respectively. Are they, for your money right now, the best line in hockey?
Well, as the line goes, their body of work would indicate that they are the best line in hockey. You know, as time goes on here, though, body of work over 80 games ultimately comes down to what transpires in a playoff scenario. And I just say that on the basis of you look at Tampa Bay with whatever line Kucherov plays on, and obviously Stamkos is having one of his best years he's ever had. Coach Cooper seems to play them a little bit together, and then every now and then we'll break them up a little bit. But, you know, they've proven over the last couple of years that that body of work that they do in the playoffs is pretty solid. So, you know, right now as a line, there's no question the Marner line's been the hottest line in hockey. But ultimately, it's the 80 games are exciting, but it comes down to those 4-7 series that are going to differentiate the best teams and the best lines.
Wayne, you were pretty confident in Marner before the season, and obviously things have gone about as well as you could have imagined. Are you confident now in having seen this two-thirds of the season or a little over half a season that he can carry this into the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. I've said that before about that young man. He's fun to watch. He's got a great sense for the game of hockey. He's, as you guys watch him play every night, his hockey sense are as good as anybody and probably in the National Hockey League. You know, when you watch him play, you can tell he's got a love and a passion for the sport. He loves to work hard. He is committed to his hockey club to be the best player that he can be. And, yeah, I've always had a belief that this young man can do good things and carry his team to special heights. So, you know, it's tough when you break into the National Hockey League. It's the best league in the world for a reason. And, you know, sometimes it just takes that little bit of experience to get you over the top, being in those situations, and they've been in those situations the last few years. So I'm sure he'll pull on that experience of the past when he heads into the playoffs this year. I know myself, we learned firsthand. We got beat in the first round by LA in 82, and then we got swept four straight by the Islanders in 83. But it was a learning curve for all of us as a group and as individuals. And we were fortunate enough to put it all together in 84. So those growing pains are what I call experience. And I think that's going to help him heading into the playoffs this year. I'm sure he's going to have a really good playoff this year. And I hope he does. He's, like I said, I enjoy watching him play. He's a nice young man, and he loves to play the game of hockey.
Yeah, it's been exceedingly enjoyable to watch that line play. And it's too bad sometimes. You're right, because, yes, everything with this group now matters about the postseason success. Even if they end up winning some individual awards or we dub them as the best line in hockey during the regular season, all of that washes away very quickly if they get smoked in the first round of the playoffs again or if they're unable to get out over that hump, right? We end up in those same repetitive spots.
Yeah, and listen, as players, we felt it too in Edmonton. You know, we had that great year in 82. We had a really good year in 83. But heading into 84, you could just feel the sense of the fans in the building of, okay, it's fun watching you guys play in November and December and February, but can we just get the playoffs started round one, because that's all we care about right now. And we want to see that you guys have matured and learned from the past mistakes that maybe we made as youngsters. And so you could feel that belief and that feeling in the arena. And as we got going in that first round, you could just feel the fans sort of driving the caboose and really excited at how we were playing and how we were committed to being a better playoff team. And you could just feel that not only in the arena, but in the entire city.
There have been a couple concerns that have popped up for the Maple Leafs here in the last couple weeks, and I think chief among them is probably the performance of their goaltenders and trying to figure out, you know, which direction to go, whether it to stick with Jack Campbell, to ride Peter Mrazek a little bit more. That's something for Sheldon Keefe to decide. You played with a lot of really quality netminders in your career, Wayne, and I get that, like, performance on the ice trumps everything. That's what gives a team confidence in their goaltender. But is there something outside of just their performance, maybe their demeanor, the way they carry themselves, is there something that you found that gave you confidence in goaltenders that you were playing with other than what they did on the ice?
Yeah, and first of all, I think Campbell's been a tremendous story coming from California and, you know, going into Toronto and accomplishing what he's done. And he seems to be a real stand-up guy, and you can tell he's extremely well-liked by his teammates. All in all, I think he's been pretty solid throughout the year. And, you know, we had a similar situation. We had Andy Moog and Grant Fuhr, and, you know, there's times that we thought, okay, Andy's going to be the goalie. And then there was times where, as a group, we were like, okay, Grant has grabbed the net, and now he's going to be the guy. But we really believed as a group that that wasn't our decision to make. We were never a group of guys that would go into the locker room, and I'm sure the Leaf players are the same. That's a decision for the coaching staff. And we just, and I'm sure they have the same belief that we did. Whoever the coach decides to put in our case it was Glenn, we were comfortable with either guy. And we just felt that as much as we wanted to win, the coaching staff wanted to win just as bad. So, you know, ultimately the Leaf players are going to let the coaching staff decide. And I'm sure they're comfortable with whatever direction the Leafs decide to go with. And maybe they end up playing both guys a lot in the playoffs. You never know how the playoffs are going to unfold and what's going to happen.
Right. Control what you can control as players on your team. And if you're Austin Matthews right now, control what you control is maybe entering the conversation of the best player in hockey right now. Like, listen, this could get you in a lot of trouble in Edmonton, Wayne, so let's be careful here. But where is Matthews right now in terms of your front runners for the heart?
Yeah. Well, we talked about that the other night. He's definitely made a big climb of being in that conversation. You know, the fact that now I'm on TV, and I was one of the guys who was a little bit vocal in the studio saying that, you know, it's hard to pick MVPs after 40 games because as important as those first 40 games are, the next 40 are way more important. And then there was a discrepancy in the schedule because of COVID. Some teams had played 7 or 8 more games than other teams. And so I was not a big believer of handing out awards after 40 games. And as you said, as the games have gotten more crucial here over the past few weeks, Austin has been a huge part of the success of the Maple Leafs. And without question, warrants a lot of attention as far as getting votes for the Hart Trophy. If he were to win the Hart Trophy this year, I don't think anybody would be surprised. He's earned that right, what he's accomplished so far and how he's benefited the Toronto Maple Leafs. So good for him. He's been outstanding. The thing about the game today is there's so many good players, you know, and the Dreisaitl McDavid duo gets talked about a lot, but Cale Makar and Colorado has been outstanding for that hockey club. People have talked about Ovechkin and what he's accomplished at his age and helping his hockey club. I was saying the other day, how great has Markstrom been in Calgary and the success that team has had, and Vasilev up in Tampa Bay, the goaltender there has just been tremendous. So it's hard to sit here and say, okay, that guy's a clear front runner. There's so many guys that deserve that attention. I even look at a guy like Kopitar, how great a year he's had, and the success the Kings have had. Nobody saw that coming this year. They thought they were probably still a year away. But he's been outstanding in leading the LA Kings. So a lot of good players, a lot of guys that are qualified to be Hart Trophy winners, but we'll see when we get down to game 60 to 80 if anybody can pull away and be that difference maker to separate themselves from that pack of maybe four, five, or six guys.
Wayne, you might have touched on it a little bit there, running down the competition for Austin Matthews when debating the Hart Trophy, but clearly you've been looking at the game not through a different lens, but in a different situation, on a broadcast desk with other former players and analysts. I'm wondering, when you guys are in studio, is there a team, a player, a combination, a coach, something that's really captured your guys' attention that gets the TNT panel really excited when, you know, breaking down games or in the intermission segments or after the game? Is there something that's really got that panel's attention this year with their performances?
Well, to say there was one particular thing is probably not true. As a group, the one thing we all have in common is we love to watch hockey. We all love to sort of comment about it. I think from a team point of view, we're a little surprised at how well Tampa Bay has done, with not because of anything else other than because of the salary cap. They had a turnover of a few players. They moved their fourth line up to basically be a third line, and they don't seem to have missed a beat. And their goaltender just seems to be getting better and better. We're overly impressed of the puck skills and the offensive ability of the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes, and how they play and how aggressive they play and how fast they are. We're, as a group, I think we're all in a big belief that Colorado has been probably the best team throughout the year in the Western Division, and how well Makar's played and how hard of a team they're to play against. Calgary probably fits in that same category in the sense of they just grind you out and play hard every night, and they're a tough team to play against. So, yeah, there's been a lot of good stories, a lot of really fun teams to watch. And as I said, probably a little surprised that where LA is, they're probably a year ahead of schedule. Rob Blake's done a nice job out there, and Tom McClellan's coached very well. And then from the other side of it, Edmonton seems to have turned the corner a little bit. They seem to have a little bit more energy as a group and as a team. Although they lost in Tampa Bay, they played really well. And losing 2-1 in Carolina, that was a pretty good team effort. So they seem to have, looks like they've turned the corner. Let's hope for the fans of Edmonton that they have. And I think that maybe one of the bigger surprises that hasn't been talked a lot about is everyone's not sure where Vegas fits in. You know, everybody had them running away with the division and being top of the conference. And right now, it's a pile-up. And if you lose four, five, six games in a row, you can find yourself battling for the last playoff spot. So they've probably been a little bit of a surprise in our eyes. We thought they run away and hide with that division.
So we were reluctant to ask you this question because we thought you might not be able to relate, which is how you deal with a slump. But Blake, I think it was Blake, but somebody actually pulled up that with the Oilers, you went 9 games once without scoring a goal, which is impossible to believe when you look at the numbers, like that actually happened. But how do you feel about what John Tavares is going through right now? 10 games without a goal, and knowing that it's on him to score goals, that he arrived here, he's the captain of the team, they need him to provide offense, and he's a very stoic player who right now has had some moments where he's broken that, we're not even used to seeing it, where he's shown visible frustration on the ice. I wonder if he came to you right now and he asked you, hey, what advice would you give me, where would it start?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me say this. As professional athletes, if you lose a little bit of confidence, and I don't care if it's John Tavares or Wayne Gretzky or Mario Lemieux, if you lose a little bit of confidence, it makes it really hard. And there's times where, as athletes, we're going to lose a little bit of confidence. And I'm sure he's lost a little bit of that confidence. Secondly, when people say, and they ask you, are you thinking about it? Obviously, the standard answer is no, I'm not worried about it. I'm just playing my game. But let me tell you, I can't speak for him, but I was thinking about it. It's just, you know, common sense that you're disappointed in yourself and you want to contribute. So, yeah, I thought about it. The advice I would give him is pretty simple. And I got this advice from one of the greatest hockey people I ever knew, in John Muckler. And I sat down with him one day, and I said, and he started asking me questions about my game and about how I was feeling and my contribution to the team. And he made such a valid point. He made such a great point. And it always stuck with me, and it really helped me turn a corner. And he said to me, you know, we don't need you to get 3 goals. We don't need you to get 4 or 5 points. We just need you to get one big goal or make one big play that results in a goal. And it was his way of being extremely positive. I remember I left his office and walked out of that meeting thinking, okay, I just got to go out there and I got to do something that's going to be important of importance value to the hockey club. And that would be the exact same advice I would give that young man, because as you guys know, he cares, and that's why he's the captain. He loves playing in Toronto. He plays hard. He practices hard. And you hope that he comes out of it sooner rather than later, and he can feel more relaxed and more at ease with himself and his contributions to the team.
Oh, the other thing he could do that you did, Wayne, and it was me that looked up the stats, that 9-game goalless streak you had 24 assists in those 9 games. So more than one way to contribute there. Wayne, I want to ask you about something a little more serious. On the NHL on TNT panel on Saturday night, you shared that you think international hockey should say they're not going to let Russia play in the World Junior Hockey Tournament that's supposed to be in Edmonton. The IIHF Council is meeting today to discuss Russia's participation in IIHF events, about them hosting the World Juniors in December 2022 and the World Cup in May 2023. What would your message be to the IIHF Council if they asked, you know, for your insight on this situation as they meet today?
Yeah. Well, let me say a couple things. One, when you're on TV, you got a guy in your ear, and he's telling you got 10 seconds, 5 seconds. And so sometimes you don't get everything in that you want to get in. First and foremost, it's just horrible what's going on. An ex-friend of mine, ex-teammate, ex-Toronto Maple Leaf, Dmitry Krishtych, is over there. And he's joined the forces of battling and picking up a gun. And it makes no sense to us. We just can't comprehend it. I have another friend who I met a few years ago that created and did a documentary on the Ukrainian hockey players that played over in the National Hockey League. And he keeps sending me video and texts of what is transpiring. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I kind of zeroed in on the junior tournament because it's being held in Edmonton. For people don't know this or realize it, but the country of Canada, other than, I believe, Russia and Ukraine, have the most Ukrainians that live in another country. I believe there's close to 2 million Ukrainians that live here in Canada. Tons of Ukrainians migrated to the province of Alberta and the city of Edmonton, and makes up a big fabric of how wonderful the people are in that city. For people who have never been out there, the nickname for Edmonton is Edmund Chuck, or the Chuck. So I just couldn't relate to how we were going to welcome a country that's at war to a city that has tons of Ukrainian family members that are still living in the Ukraine, probably lots of friends, probably sick to their stomachs about this. And I got some pushback from people that said, you know, why punish the Russian kids? It's not about punishing the Russian kids. What about the Ukrainian kids that are being killed daily? the Ukrainian kids who are 12 and 14 years old going to war. So I don't want anybody to be punished. I just think it makes common sense that, okay, we shouldn't compete against this country right now while they're at war against an innocent country. And so I kind of zeroed in on the junior team, and that was sort of the basis of what I thought. Hopefully I'm hearing that maybe there's a little bit of a ceasefire and there's some talking that's going on, because this is 2022. We don't need war right now. This world's gone through enough with the pandemic. There's too many great people in the world, too many good people, and too many people that just don't understand why this is all transpiring at this point in time.
I think that's unbelievably well said, and that a lot of people share every sentiment that you just laid out, Wayne. Thanks so much for making time for us today. We very much appreciate it.
Yeah, listen, thank you guys very much. Love talking hockey anytime. You guys have a great day, and prayers and thoughts to all the Ukrainian people over in Ukraine.